And I've got a very special guest, someone who's very hard to get on the show, Tommy Gimler. How's it going, Tommy?
Hey, how you doing, Ethan? I was actually supposed to be on last week, yes, and it was my fault, not your fault,
yep,
my fault.
It was your fault. And when Kyle Gass, you know Kyle Gass, right?
Oh, yeah, amazing guitarist.
Yeah, yeah, he was on before. He didn't call in late. He didn't miss the show. He actually did the interview, and then a couple months later, he came in studio with his band Trainwreck and performed live in studio. But
I'll come into studio, man. I'll get in my car right now.
Okay.
And as long as you're still going to be going strong 4 days from now, I'll come in. I'll do it.
All right. Yeah. When Jimmy Fallon called in on time, that was pretty cool. I really enjoyed it.
All these guys, I get where you're going here. Not only are all these guys better musicians and funnier guys than me, but they're also more responsible with their time.
Yeah. Well, Lewis Black called in. He was good.
Come on, keep going. There's 17,000 comics in America today. Keep going.
Oh man, so Stephen Wright. I love Stephen Wright. He's a huge burnout. He called in on time. That was that worked. He didn't miss that one.
I wish I had like some really good story as to why I didn't call in last week. But all it was that I got called up to do a show at the Improv. That was it. That's a boring story. I've got nothing.
Oh, you should tell that to Tracy Morgan because he called in on time. That was good.
You know, that's because Tracy Morgan isn't working two jobs and then going out and doing comedy shows. He's got an assistant.
Oh, come on. He's insane.
And Tracy Morgan can't even read, right? He can't even read, and he's calling into the show on time. I got a 3.9 GPA when I was in high school, and I can't even call in on time.
Oh, you know who else probably had a 3.9 GPA? Brian Regan. When he called in on time.
Funny guy.
What other comedians do you like? I'll tell you if they called in on time.
Stephen Lynch.
Yeah, he called in on time, all right. He called in
no
on
way,
time.
No way, dude. He was probably too stoned out of his gourd to call in
no,
on time.
He called in on time, and then he got me backstage at a show, and now I'm friends with Rod Cohn and Dave Josephburg, and they both called in on time for their interviews. And then...
Do you want me to take like a picture of my girlfriend's boobs or something and then like send it away? Will that get me off the list?
Yeah, of course.
So here, I'll one up Kyle Gass. I'll okay. bring my girlfriend into the studio when I'm out in New York in February,
okay.
and then I'll have her show her boobs to you.
Really?
And then that'll get this interview moving.
Yeah, I remember last time a girl came in and showed her boobs. That was cool. That was comedian Jason Smith.
And she was in studio on time, right?
She was. Good job bringing up that Stephen Lynch. I would have forgot about him.
Yeah, no worries. No worries.
So, Tommy, we played all your songs last week while we were waiting for you to call in.
So maybe that was just not a mistake. Maybe it was just a proper or just a really good marketing ploy.
Yeah.
You know what? If I don't call in, he's just going to keep waiting and waiting and waiting and just play every single one of my songs.
I did, and they're great. I really like All I Got for Christmas Was the Clap. That one's great.
Not based on a true story.
No?
I'd like to tell everyone out there, not based on a true story, at least not me.
Okay. So now you've got three Christmas songs?
Yeah, and I just wrote a fourth with the bass player in my band. He's Jewish.
Oh, yeah?
And he helped me write a song called The Jew Stole Christmas. So I'll try recording that as soon as possible and get it out your way.
Oh, that'd be great. Send it on time, though, not a week late.
Sure. Yeah, you'll get it after Christmas, of course.
Okay. So now, are these songs like on a Christmas EP, or are they part of a different CD? I wasn't completely
sure. No,
they're
they're part of Songs to Complain About.
Okay.
They're, I think, tracks 17, 18, and 19 of Songs to Complain About.
Oh, okay. So that's been out for a while then.
Oh, yeah. I got that done way on time.
Yeah.
It was, you know, I think 3 years ago. 3 years ago. Those are oldies.
So why is there the big push for them?
I got signed by New Wave,
right.
New Wave Dynamics, and now I finally have someone in PR.
Yeah.
And I don't think, they didn't know that I had them, so I just said, hey, you know, it's holidays. Instead of listening to the Hanukkah song, it's a great tune, over
yeah.
and over and over again, see if someone will play the other one.
Well, I was already going to play them, but I definitely appreciate the push.
You know it.
I love how your songs, like, if someone doesn't know they're listening to a comedy song and it comes on and they're not paying attention, they could just be completely surprised by, like, you know, gonorrhea or like a mention of the clap or something. Or raping someone.
It happens all the time. I even, like, you know, I play some for my mom.
Yeah.
And I've got, like, the song Christmas Time.
Yeah.
The first minute 45, it sounds like, you know, everyone will listen to it and they'll be like, oh, hey, Gimbar actually wrote a good, serious song here. This is okay. And then it, you know, just busts into a guy coming home on his wife in the middle of an interracial threesome,
right.
You know. So, so then that's when my mom has me turn it off. But I at least had her up to that point.
That's great. So, now, I can't remember. Do you do any stand-up that's not musical?
Oh, yeah. It all depends. Like, last night, I had a full band. And, you know, we play the full tunes. And we do, like, banter in between. But if I get, like, a 10-minute set at the improv or whatever, it's a lot of just talking, joke, and then maybe 30 seconds of a song or 45 seconds of a song.
Oh, okay. Cool. So, now, this Mitsubishi thing that you're doing, you're filming, like...
You can say it, dude. Come on.
I'll say it next week. This thing that you're doing, you're driving across the country, you're filming commercials? Like, what is this?
It's a webisode, and we wrapped everything up, and it was basically over a, I would say, like, 4 or 5 week period. It was amazing. I mean, tiring, but it was just awesome. They gave us a car, and I got to take my good buddy Chris Garnett out on the road. He had a camera, and we just basically got to do whatever we wanted. So, you know, we're swimming with sharks, we're skydiving, you know, we would go to, like, that joint in Cedar Point in Sandusky, Ohio.
Yeah.
And it was amazing. We got to go on every coaster that we wanted, you know, didn't have to wait in line. But it was 2 days after we did skydiving, so it just wasn't as much of a rush.
Oh, yeah.
But, I mean, it was just amazing that I just want to, you know, maybe just go back and slap around my guidance counselors a little bit and give my parents and say, you guys never told me if these jobs were out there, and they are. The fact that there was a paycheck attached to it was pretty comical in itself.
Did you get to keep the car afterwards?
I am still driving a Mitsubishi. Isn't that unbelievable?
Wow, that's great. So you had a paycheck and a free car?
And a free car, yeah. I mean, I eventually have to give the car back. But,
okay.
But, you know, in the time being, just driving that around, it sure beats the rusted out Corolla that I had before that.
Yeah. That's really
great. People look at me in a whole new light. You know, I no longer have to, like, you know, bound and gag girls and throw them in the back seat.
Right.
They're now finally coming in, you know, on their own power. It's great. It's a life changer, man. I'm telling you.
That's great. I'll have to get a gig with a professional car agency. So,
well, I'll tell you what. If you get a hold of me on time before the next promo, I'll see if I can put a good word in for you.
Okay. That'd be great. So now you really were driving it. Like when you weren't on camera, was there a crew driving, or you really did drive it?
No. There were three of us on the road. There was the camera guy, and a lot of times we had two vehicles. And if it was just the camera guy and I, he was in one and I was in the other. And if we saw something that we wanted to shoot, he would have to go park that. He'd have to go park the Outlander and then hop in the Outlander's Ford, and we go drive around and get our shots. But otherwise, there was like an intern that would drive the vehicle behind us, but I was always driving.
Okay.
So I think it ended up being over 18,500 miles that we drove, and I drove single one of them.
Wow. So now, did they paid for gas and everything?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. They give you the company card, the, you know, food, everything.
Wow.
It's all on them. My protein bars, I'm addicted to those things. Got to have them.
What brand do you like?
So they pay for all of them. And, you know, you're grabbing, you know, when it's not your dime, you're grabbing, you know, and instead of getting two protein bars, how about six?
Yeah.
How about six? I mean, now it's all right. Doesn't matter. We'll get six more at the next stop.
Yeah. So now, what was the best part of doing that whole thing?
Well, I tell you, I would say that the skydiving was outstanding. I mean, other than having sex with my girlfriend, I honestly, there's no other experience that's I would probably just say orgasmic. It's unbelievable. I could not tell you anything that I've ever done that compares to that.
It just sounds great. I've always been kind of
great.
I've always been kind of afraid of that, though. I don't know if I could do it.
Well, you know, I think this year it was like a high year in deaths, too. They said like 40 some idiots died doing this. But it's never like during the tandem. It's not like, you know, we had to go and there was, you know, a guy on our back, which I was kind of uncomfortable about that. But otherwise, the whole skydiving thing, I wasn't really uncomfortable about.
Yeah.
But, you know, the people who die are the people who are professionals, who are, like, waiting for the last second to open their chute or doing some kind of weird maneuver in the air. And, you know, just those are the people that die. Very rarely does someone die during a tandem.
Oh, okay. I guess that makes me feel a little bit better.
What did you say?
That makes you feel a little bit better. Maybe I will eventually
do it. Oh, right. I mean, they were trying to tell you everything. I was psyched, but our camera guy, my buddy Chris, was afraid of heights, and that was one way to get over it. But, I mean, he was extremely nervous. We could just see it in his face. But they start telling you stuff like this, and it makes it a lot easier. And then once you see the 22-year-old intern chick jump out of the plane, you're like, okay, I can do this.
Yeah.
I can do this.
So he jumped out with the full camera, or was it like a handheld one?
No, they actually, for that, he went, and they filmed him. What they do is they actually have a, you jump at about the same time as another camera person. I think we had a camera girl,
okay.
And she jumped, and she's a professional skydiver, too, and she's trained to hold on to that camera all the way down. She's got it, like, you know, rigged to her hand and stuff. And
yeah. Oh, it's very cool. So where
intense.
Where can we watch these webisodes?
You can go, if you want, go on YouTube and go to, like, the Mitsubishi Cars channel, and they're all there. Or there's even a link on my website, TommyGimler.com, that'll take you to, I think I have it hooked up to the one in Boston, which is one of the greatest dives I had. They dressed me up like Paul Revere.
Okay.
I just went around town. And, you know, if you're trying to talk to people about the Mitsubishi, you're trying to have a good time, and everyone thinks that you're, like, a tour guide or some kind of, like, info nut. So people come up to you and say, hey, where's Nathaniel Hall? And I'm like, I don't know, man. You're ruining the shot. But it was a ton of fun. So, yeah, you can go to YouTube or my website and check it there.
That's great. So any plans of more CDs coming out? Any new stuff in the works?
Yeah, I've already got seven new tunes.
Wow.
Seven new tunes. So I'm going to try recording when I go home. I'm leaving Los Angeles for 2 weeks to go home to Wisconsin in about 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. I think 2 weeks would be enough, and I'll hate the place, and I'll leave again. But I'm going to hopefully lay a couple of tracks down there, and then I usually spit these things out like once every 12 or 14 months.
Cool.
I think going back, yeah, because I've got five albums now, and I'll have six. It'll definitely be done by summer.
Wow. So the new Christmas song will be on that?
Oh, you know it.
Excellent.
That one should sell. The title alone, The Jew Stole Christmas, should should ruffle some feathers.
I guess back to the Mitsubishi thing. Was there any kind of procedure if you got in a car accident or a fender bender during the trip?
We never got in any accident. You did that 18,500 miles, no break-ins or anything.
Wow.
We did have a table fall out of a truck that we had to maneuver around, but you know, we were on enough 5-hour energy to be able to see that thing coming a mile away.
Are you sponsored by 5-hour energy too?
No, not at all, but I would in a heartbeat. I'll tell you that. That stuff works, man.
Yeah.
I'll do it for free just to get some of that stuff.
Yeah. It tastes like vomit, though. I've never had a good one.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many flavors now. I mean, but you just open it up and you don't nurse that thing. You just take it down and I'll tell you what, it keeps you awake.
Yeah. So now, you're in LA right now?
Los Angeles right now, watching all the people do their Christmas shopping. I'm at the Grove right now, basically, in the heart of Los Angeles, almost in Beverly Hills, but, I'll tell you what, man, I don't want to hear any complaints that the economy is down anymore, because every mall in the area has been packed. It takes longer to park than it does to actually get your shopping done. I mean, even this place is packed right now. What is it? 11:30 by you?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's 8:30 by me, and this place is just packed.
Man.
Everyone has bags. So I don't want to hear any more complaining about the economy. It is back, baby.
Yeah. Are you done with all your Christmas shopping and stuff?
Yeah, I just got it done before the interview.
Oh, cool. Very cool.
And I'll tell you what, man, I am the worst, and I think it makes me more straight, but I'm the worst, like, Christmas gift wrapper.
Oh, yeah?
I cannot wrap. I used to have this thing down when I was a kid. I don't know if not taking any art classes in the last 15 or 20 years has really, really started to take effect, but I am just brutal with that.
So do you pay those the charity people in the mall to do it?
No. I actually just did it myself. But it's like, it's so bad that you don't even have to put like a name tag on any of these gifts, you know, because you can say like, oh yeah, all right, you know, it'll be my girlfriend and I tomorrow night on Christmas Eve just exchanging gifts. And you can totally tell which gifts she wrapped and right. which gifts I wrapped.
Oh man, that's great. So, you said you're going to Wisconsin? Is that in a couple days?
Yeah, I take off on the 26th and I go to Wisconsin, and I've got a show in Waukesha, Wisconsin on the 29th. And I might do like a guest set or two at a comedy club in Milwaukee while I'm there, but otherwise it's always something I do around the holidays, go home, see family, and just kind of relax and get away from the hustle.
Yeah. Now, when you first did stand-up, did you do it in Wisconsin, or did you start once you got to L.A.?
I started writing in college. I picked up a guitar in college to pick up chicks. Yeah. And I soon found that I had no basis for, for writing serious songs.
Yeah.
My dad loves me. He's never hit me. You know, my parents are still together. I've dumped every chick in a relationship. I've never had my heart broken. So I had just started writing funny tunes about all my buddies around the campfire and about all their ordeals. And someone said, hey, you should try writing a song that appeals to more people. So I wrote Born Star Girlfriend, and then the rest is history.
That's awesome. Well, now, what kind of stand-up do you listen to? Do you, what kind of comedians do you like, and what kind of comedy music do you like?
I think Stephen Lynch is great. He and I are different in the fact that, you gotta listen. He makes you think a little more with his, and mine are more like, he's more of like a Harvard comic, I would say, and I'm more like University of Wisconsin, Whitewater, you know, just the Bodung School. I mean, it's right in your face. It doesn't require a lot of thinking, you know.
Yeah.
Like you said, when you listen to some of those tunes, it's like, wow, yeah, he really, he's really out there and pretty brash with it. So, but it's good, you know. A lot of times I'm playing bars and stuff where people are drinking, and you know, I'll let some other comic make them think a little deeper, and I'll just try to write catchy tunes that make people laugh.
Yeah.
You know, right on the surface. But otherwise, comics. Right now, man, my favorite comic. I've been doing a couple of shows, and this guy's been popping in at the Improv. His name is Jason Galern. Do you know who he is?
Oh yeah, he's great.
Oh man,
he's hilarious.
It is ridiculous. I mean, it's hard to bring like another comic to tears because you know I think that a lot of comics are always out there like you know judging like you know just studying their set. But that guy, man, I was crying during his set. He's amazing.
Yeah, and he teaches like inner city children too.
He does, yeah, and he keeps doing it for, like, more material, and just actually likes doing it.
Yeah. Yeah, I interviewed him a while ago. He was a nice guy, really cool guy.
Oh, yeah, real nice guy. I mean, you talk to him off stage, and basically his manners on stage, like his demeanor on stage is exactly the way he is off stage. He's just a real kind of calm, collective guy, and yeah, I'd say right now he's at the top of the list, my favorite comic.
Now, are there any music comedians that you just hate that you are willing to mention?
That I hate?
Yeah, that you're willing to mention on the air.
I'm trying to think. I don't know. It's hard to like really hate another comic. I mean, there's always like you know the jealousy of like other when you meet other comics and it's like, hey, what are you doing out here? Do you work? And they say like, no, you know, my parents are rich back home, and they you know, are paying for me to be out here where,
right.
you know, you're getting up in the morning, working a job, and then doing two shows every night and stuff like that. But you kind of get, like, jealous. But as far as hate, I don't think I really hate any comics. And it might be because I'm a guitar comic, so no one finds me, you know, there's so few guitar comics that no one finds you, you know, intimidating or, you know, like, you know, we don't appeal to the same people. I mean, we have different, I'm missing the word here. It's probably because I'm starving. But you know, we're not competitive,
right?
Yeah, and I always thought in the comedy world it would be a competitive thing, but it really isn't, man. You just meet as many comics as you can, and there's many young comics that are hungry, and you just go and you start a show, and you have them at your shows, and then they book you at their shows, and you really become good friends with these people.
Now, so you haven't had anyone like try and steal a song or an idea from a song? I guess it's kind of harder to do than a joke concept, right?
Right. I've heard like people tell jokes that I've written a song about, you know, like the same kind of concept, but no one's ever stolen any tune.
That's good. Do you see like people bootlegging your stuff online?
I know that people have emailed me, like, I'll give them a CD, but I tell them, I'm like, hey, go make 40 copies of this. I'll worry about bootlegging and stuff like that when I have, like, a big record deal or
right.
something like that. But right now, you know, I want people to throw it up online. Someone throw it up online somewhere so it catches fire.
Yeah.
I really don't care. I should honestly start bootlegging it myself.
You should.
Start going inside and saying, hey, listen to this kid.
That'd be really cool. I'll help you out. I'll do that for a few songs if you want.
Hey, thanks, man. Yeah. I mean, the more, like, you got to figure at this point in my career, I mean, there are people out there who know me, and then, but, you know, for the most part, like, you can even go to a comedy club in Los Angeles and probably ask the six comics on the bill, hey, do you know Tommy Gimler? And maybe two of them might say, oh, is he the guitar comic? Yeah. And then, you know, the other four are like, I don't know who that is. So at this point, I want everybody to hear it. So if that means throwing it up on Kazaa or LimeWire, do those things still work? Do it.
Yeah. Great. So, you know, we can get the Christmas songs, get them on iTunes, right?
Oh, yeah. They can go iTunes, Amazon. Thank you, New Wave, for that. That's really been amazing. I get a certain percentage of whatever they make after iTunes takes their share and stuff. But,
right.
you know, I always hear people complain about what they have to pay managers and what they have to pay publicists and what they have to pay agents. And I'll tell you what, man, I'm responsible for booking a lot of my shows. And I'll tell you what, I'll give up 10 or 20% just so I can just sit and relax and just keep playing guitar while someone else does all the dirty
yeah.
work, you know? It's amazing. Like, yeah, I would give up half of my stuff, just take home half of a paycheck. If you're doing a show for $2,000 and you take home $1,000, outstanding. What did you do? I just sang dirty songs for 90 minutes
yeah.
to a bunch of college kids. And then I went out and drank with them at the bar where, you know, every beer was 75 cents.
Right.
I just made a grand doing that, you know? And do 100 shows like that and you make six figures.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great. Hey, have you ever blanked on stage with the lyrics for a song?
There are sometimes, man, I've played these tunes hundreds of times, and
yeah.
still, just sometimes you stumble. Sometimes you're just looking out in the crowd, and someone catches your eye, or, you know, I've played my songs and heard my songs so many times now that you don't, you know, I'm not laughing at them, but all of a sudden you'll see someone out in the crowd just, you know, lose it, and
yeah.
then you lose it, just because you're looking at their face or their reaction, you know?
Yeah. So how do you recover on stage from something like that?
Well, I usually make fun of myself, or I think that's usually what I do, or just
yeah.
keep going. You know, usually a quick joke covers it, but that's the beauty about doing comedy tunes, you know?
Yeah.
If you mess up, no one cares.
Yeah.
If you're semi-sonic singing Closing Time for the 3 millionth time and you mess up, people are going to be like, wow, you really are a bad band.
Yeah. Yeah, it makes TMZ and stuff. Well, Tommy, thank you so much for calling in. I'm glad that we finally got to talk. Last week was kind of upsetting.
you would not believe when I got home and all of a sudden I opened up my Facebook page and it's like, you calling in? I'm like, oh, that's right.
Yeah, Robert Schimmel actually called in before he died. So.
Did he really?
He did.
That really is that was a sad day, man. He's honestly really one of my favorite comics. Just
he's great.
Yeah. Unreal.
He was the nicest guy. He did a great interview, and then he told me to give him a call anytime someone doesn't call in, and he'll cover the interview for me. And so if he didn't die, he would have called in last week.
He probably would have called in. Well,
yeah.
I'm sorry for bringing that back up.
That's
unbelievable.
All right. That's all right.
You know, I feel almost as bad about calling in as I do right now. I'm about to pop into a store. My girlfriend bought me a money clip,
a
really nice money clip. And last night as I was getting paid for my gig, I took the money clip off and put it right in my pocket, and it was just holding my cards and the other cash that I had.
Yeah.
And I got the cash, put the cash in my pocket with my cards and stuff, didn't put my money clip back on, and I lost my money clip. And it's an early Christmas present. So she's out with her girlfriend right now, so I got to run into the store real quick and look for the one that she bought and just not tell her anything. It never happened. It's the same one she bought.
Hopefully she never hears this interview.
Yeah, or hopefully I get the right one.
Yeah. And if she hears this interview, we're just joking.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's what I do. That's what I do. I joke. I joke around. I kid.
In advance, we talked about how you'd say that.
Right. Just what it is. It's an act, baby. It's an act.
Yeah. All right. Well, good luck with that. hopefully you can find that. Wink, wink, because you don't really have to. But if right. you can't, you know. You know.
Hey man, we'll I always love doing the show. I'm gonna be out in New York State doing a couple of schools in February. I'll hit you up while I'm there. I'll stop in if I'm I should be nearby.
Yes, I definitely want to try and get you a show. I'll see what I can do.
All right, man. Otherwise, in the meantime, have a good holiday and thanks
you
again
too.
For having me on. I always love doing this.
Yeah, it was a blast. Find that money clip.
Yeah, I hope so, man.
All right, take care, man.
All right, take care. Thanks, buddy.
Yep. Bye. It was Tommy Gimler, and you can check him out online, I think TommyGimler.com, and you can get his Christmas songs right on iTunes. All I Got for Christmas was The Clap. That's one of them, and then another one that I really like, I Saw Mommy. You have to listen to it to see what he saw Mommy doing. But then there's also Christmas Time. Here's Christmas Time by Tommy Gimler from Songs to Complain About.